Thanks for joining us on the Port City Church podcast. More information about Port City Church is available at portcitychurch.org.
What's up, Port City? How are we doing? Woo! Good morning to everybody. Happy Valentine's Day week. Everybody survive okay? I know it can be a little tricky. Hey, I am very, very excited to be with you guys today, to be a part of this service, to be stepping into this moment. I think it's a huge, you know, honor. I take it as a huge honor to be entrusted with this time. And so my hope and my prayer is that I steward it well. If we have not met before, my name is Clay Everett. And a little bit about myself. My job here at the church is to lead the college ministry. I don't know if you heard that yet. It's called Overflow. A couple Overflow students over there. I love my job. I love what I get to do. I'm married to my amazing wife. Her name is Courtney Everett. We have two amazing children, Ellie and Baylor. I grew up in Raleigh, North Carolina, and I moved here to Wilmington to go to UNCW. Go Seahawks. Yeah? Okay, good. That was in 1999. That was the same year that this church was started. So it was kind of crazy. Along the way, I got a really cool opportunity to be a part of a group of students who actually started Overflow back in 2003. I actually got to do that with one of my friends, Chad Brewer, who's on staff at the New Bern campus, which is really cool. What's up, Chad? And a very, very energetic college student who jumped all in with us. His name is Matt Rabelais. He's on staff at down in Leland with Student Ministries. What's up, Matt? It was just so cool to be a part of something like that and to see what God would do through it. Jacksonville doesn't have any staff members that were a part of Overflow, but I'll tell you this about Jacksonville. One of the most encouraging things, and actually one of the most helpful things ever, was that every once in a while, kind of through different seasons, these Marines would come to Overflow. And they would drive, you know, an hour plus from Camp Lejeune to Wilmington week after week to be a part of Overflow. And it was like, well, if they keep coming to this thing, then we should probably keep doing these things. So Jacksonville, that's for you guys. Love y'all. So glad we all get to be a part today. One of the maybe more interesting things about myself that you may or may not know is that me and my family, we had the really cool opportunity to be to live in and serve in Italy for 2 years. Actually, this church sent us there as missionaries to be a part of establishing a church in northern Italy in a city called Trieste, or Trieste in English. You want to say it? Let's say that real fast. Trieste. Say it. Perfect. Trieste. So that's where we lived, and we worked with two other missionaries sent out from this church, Andrea and Mackenzie DiRigo, to start this church. And right now there's another family from our Leland campus that's there, Gary and Amy Carmichael. And they're just there just loving on the people of Trieste, sharing the love of Christ. And Trieste is like the most beautiful city in Europe, okay? So if you just picture Europe, you know, and all its grandeur, like that's what Trieste was, right? It was amazing. Probably, I just think the most beautiful city probably in the world. Besides, well, anyways. So it's a beautiful city. And it was beautiful because it was an urban city, but it wasn't too big. It was beautiful because on one side of the city was the Adriatic Sea, and behind you was this karst plateau, these like mountains. And then actually on a clear day, you could look across the Adriatic and you see the Alps with the snow on the top. So it's like, what? I live here? It was beautiful because we had some amazing Italian food, of course, and like amazing German food, right? And then like on every corner, there was gelato on one side and coffee on the other, right? Like every day, that's what you just ate gelato and drank coffee, ate gelato, drank coffee. And in fact, some of the best coffee in the world is actually roasted in Trieste. So if you're in Harris Teeter, top of the coffee aisle, it's like a metal container, it's $15. It's called Ely Coffee. If you ever wanna spend a bunch of money on coffee, get some Ely Coffee and you'll get a taste of Trieste, okay? That's what it's from, beautiful city. And we moved there, and I'd never really like lived in an urban city before. And so like, I'm in. I'm like loving this. This is so cool. Walking everywhere, taking the bus, like wearing my, you know, man scarf and my man bag. Like, I'm all in. Let's go. But I quickly realized that an urban city can kind of like close in on you. So I don't know if any of y'all have lived in like big cities in America, After a while, it starts to like, you know, kind of suffocate you. And all these people in Trieste would talk about, they talked about lots of funny things, but I would hear them say this idea of, I need to go get out of the city and I need to go get some air. And they would say it like that. They would say, I'm gonna go take in some air, right? And at first I'm like, what are they talking about? Like getting out of the city, taking some air. This is beautiful, right? This is amazing. Gelato and coffee all the time. But pretty soon I realized, like, I understood it. Like a city is, it's busy. It's noisy, like all the time, right? It's kind of dirty sometimes, if we're honest, a little smelly sometimes. And after a while, you just like need a break from it. You just need to get out of the city. And so pretty soon I found myself, like all the Italians, getting out of the city to take in some air. And so we'd go mountain biking. Me and Andrea would get on our mountain bikes and we would like ride through the city, up the hill, up the karst. And so we could turn back and look, and Trieste was just little, teeny tiny, down below us. And then we'd ride back down, you know? It was awesome. And then I even got into hiking. Any hikers in the room? Any hikers? Anybody who likes hiking? Only a few of you. Cool. I'm with the rest of y'all. I don't understand hiking because it's like painful walking. It's like, why would you want to do that, right? But I had to do it because I needed to get out of the city. And so we would hike through this valley and it's like beautiful, like lush greenery. There's a stream that kind of just cascades down. There's a waterfall. There's this like stony mountain up here with like a stone monastery that you'd walk by. And then we would hike up the mountain. It was called Monte Carso, not Monte Carlo, Monte Carso. And we'd hike up there on the mountain and you'd get a little spot and you would just kind of like overlook the city. And down there in Trieste, down there in the city, it was busy and noisy and it was complicated and crazy. But where you just sat, it was still, it was quiet, and it was simple. And I think the reality for us is that we need to sometimes in life get up out of the busyness and the craziness of life. We need to get above the noise. We need to get above the complication of life so that we can experience the still and the quiet and the simple. And so today, across all of our campuses, I wanna try to lead us towards that. I'm gonna preach a message called Ascend the Hill for all you note takers, Ascend the Hill. And through it, I wanna lead us above the noise to a quieter place to see some simple things, some very, very simple things, maybe in some new ways. And so to do that, we're gonna take a look at a piece of scripture, just two very simple verses from the book of Matthew, specifically Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. The book of Matthew is the gospel account written by none other than Matthew. And he wrote this account so that we would know that Jesus really was who Jesus said that he was. He wanted us to see that Jesus was who the Old Testament said that he would be, that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the Savior. And if he is Savior, then what does that mean for us? How do we live in response to Jesus being Savior? The specific place we're gonna pick up in Matthew 5 is pretty much at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, right? So Jesus got baptized, he spent some time in the wilderness, and he starts doing his thing. And what Jesus does is he goes around and he teaches. He goes into the different synagogues and different cities and towns and villages, and he teaches. He teaches the gospel message. Jesus also did a lot of healing. He would go through these towns and villages and heal people. And Jesus became very, very popular, right? Jesus would walk into a city, there would be sick people. He would leave the city, no sick people. Jesus got really famous. So much so that crowds would begin to gather around. They would follow Jesus wherever he went, from town to town. Like, it wasn't just enough for them to see what Jesus did in their town. They want to see what Jesus did in the next town. Like, what's he going to do next? I don't understand. And so they follow him. Basically, Jesus had a bunch of groupies, okay? And so that's where we pick up in the story, is all these groupies following Jesus around. And we're going to read Matthew 5, verses 1 and 2. Very simple. Here we go. It says, one day, as he saw the crowds gathering, Jesus went up the mountainside and he sat down. His disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. Very simple. So one particular day, Jesus sees the crowds and he's like, peace out. I'm going up the mountainside. I'm getting out of here, right? And I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm a pretty big introvert. And you're like, well, why is he up on stage talking? I'm up here by myself. Y'all are in the crowd. I'm doing my own thing, right? Any other introverts in the room? Come on, church. Introverts? Yes, my people, right? So we know what it's like to see a crowd and go, I think I'm going the other way, right? Like, that's our life, right? And so Jesus is like our hero. We're like, yes, I want to be more like Jesus. And Jesus is really cool to us, but today I do want to focus in on what does everyone else do? What are the other people doing in these two verses in Matthew 5? Jesus goes up the mountainside to take in some air, and what are the other people doing? What does the crowd do? It says that the crowd gathered. It says that Jesus saw the crowd gathering. They were gathering around each other, and what were they gathering for? They were gathering to see what Jesus was going to do. They were gathering to see how many people Jesus was going to heal that day. They were gathering to see maybe Jesus is going to feed us some lunch, maybe some loaves and fishes. I don't know. What are we going to get out of this? They gathered around each other, but what did the disciples do? So while the crowds gathered around each other, it says that the disciples gathered around Jesus, that they gathered around Jesus. The ones who were devoted, who were committed followers of Jesus, they gathered around him, the text says. And so what does that mean? First of all, it means very literally that the followers of Jesus followed Jesus up the mountainside. That Jesus' disciples had to climb the same mountain that Jesus climbed. And here's my first point for us today. is that to follow Jesus, you must be willing to go where Jesus goes. If you wanna follow Jesus, you've gotta be willing to go where Jesus goes. The crowds were hanging out down below in the hustle and bustle of the city, but the disciples, they followed Jesus up the hill. They ascended the hill with Jesus. So my question to you is, are you willing to go where Jesus goes in your life? Are you willing to follow Jesus there? And the reality for us is that where Jesus goes is not always easy. Where Jesus goes is not always convenient. Where Jesus goes doesn't always make sense to us. Like what would make more sense in this story is for Jesus to stay down in the crowds, right? To do some good work, to heal some people, to get his ministry on, right? But Jesus goes up the mountain. Where Jesus goes doesn't always make sense to us, but the question is, are we willing to follow him there anyways? The crowds, they gathered around each other while the disciples gathered around Jesus. And if I may, I think there's a little bit of a tension there for us. Right? It's like, where would we be in the story? Would we be gathering around with all the people kind of waiting to see what Jesus is going to do? Or would we gather around Jesus? Would we follow Jesus where he goes? Because the reality in life, what I found to be true, and I think probably what you find to be true, is that there's a lot of things that we can gather our lives around. There's a lot of things that can become the center of our lives, right? We get out there in our jobs, we get out there in our careers, and pretty quickly, maybe some of us gather our lives around success. That's the thing that we're gonna gather around. Or maybe it's our ambition. Or maybe for you, it's like self-sufficiency, like I got this, I don't need any help. Or maybe you gather around your image, how people see you and perceive you. Maybe that's the thing that's central to your life. Or maybe you gather around comfort or ease. I'm an introvert. I'm a peacemaker kind of person. I like things to be comfortable. I like things to be easy. It can very easily become the center of my life, what I gather around, just making things comfortable, making things easy. We can gather around our desires. We can gather around our strengths. We can gather around our weaknesses. We can gather around our faults and our failures. We can gather around a lot of things in our life. And I wonder for you, what is it that your life is gathered around? What is it that you want to see so much that you will gather everything around that thing? The crowds, they gathered around each other in order to see Jesus do some cool things, while the disciples, they gathered around Jesus because they didn't want a show, they just wanted Jesus. Here's my next point, and my main point for today is this, guys, is that to live your life for Jesus, you must gather your life around Jesus. To live your life for Jesus, You must and I must gather our lives around Jesus. He must be the thing that we want more than anything else. He must be the thing that we gather around at all cost. See, the disciples, they would follow Jesus up the mountainside, right? They would follow him as far as he hiked, I'm hiking. And when Jesus sat, they sat. And they sat at the feet of Jesus. And verse 2 tells us that as they sat, that Jesus began to teach them. He begins to teach them. He begins to speak in, to encourage, to challenge them. And what he is teaching them, we now know as the Sermon on the Mount, right? One of the most famous sermons ever preached. And Jesus is showing them through this Sermon on the Mount, which is several chapters long, he's showing them a picture of what it looks like to follow him. A picture of what it looks like to live the Christian life. And I find it very, very interesting that at the beginning of this sermon, the only people gathered around Jesus are his disciples. They're just the few, the committed. But if you look ahead at the end of the Sermon on the Mount into chapter 7 of Matthew, it says that when Jesus was done teaching, it says that all the crowds were astonished at his words. And so whereas Jesus began teaching just the disciples, he was speaking to his disciples, but he was speaking to his disciples in a way that anyone and everyone could hear. And I think it's amazing for us today, and I wanna tell you this, that regardless of how you came into this place, regardless of where you are in life, regardless what you do believe about Jesus or you don't believe about Jesus, the message of Jesus is a message for all to hear. For all to hear. And so I hope that today's message is for every single one of us. To follow Jesus, we must be willing to go where Jesus goes. And to live our lives for Jesus, we have to gather our life around Jesus. So my second question is, what does it look like to gather around Jesus? What does that look like? Just as in life, we can gather around a lot of things. Y'all, the Christian life, within the Christian life, we can gather around a lot of things. We can make the Christian life very busy, very complicated, very noisy. We can gather around things like rules. Anybody ever tried that before? Or religion. We could gather our Christian life around performance. We can gather it around our self-righteousness or our knowledge. Or like for me, I can easily gather my Christian life around check boxes. Anybody else a checkbox person? I love it. That it's like, so it feels so good to check a box. Oh, did that. Or we can gather our Christian life around to-do lists. There's a lot of things we can make the Christian life about, but I want to tell you today that the Christian life is meant to be simple. The Christian life is simply a life gathered around Jesus. And so I want to kind of paint for us three pictures of what that looks like to gather your life around Jesus. When you gather around Jesus, what does that look like? Number one, when we gather around Jesus, we gather around forgiveness. We gather around forgiveness. And this is so good and also so scary because for some of us in the room, I think that we probably cringe at the idea of bringing our faults and our failures and our sin before the feet of Jesus. Right, we think that when we share that we fail, when we share that we fall, we think that we're gonna receive condemnation or judgment or be shunned. And you know, I still struggle with those feelings and thoughts in my life, but the reality is when we bring our junk to Jesus, what we find is we find forgiveness. And forgiveness is to be freed. Forgiveness is to say, when you say, I forgive you, that's to look at someone and say, you don't owe me anything anymore. You don't owe me anything anymore. And scripture tells us that our sin has created a debt that must be paid. And the good news of Jesus is that Jesus went and paid that debt. He paid that debt. And so when we bring our sin to Jesus, Jesus looks at us and he says, I got you. You don't owe me anything anymore. You're forgiven. You're free. When we gather our life around Jesus, y'all, we are gathering our life around forgiveness, that we have been forgiven, that we receive the thing that we need more than anything else to be forgiven, for our sin to be forgotten, and for us to have a fresh start in life. That's the first thing. The second picture I want to give you of gathering around Jesus, number two, is that we gather around grace. We gather around grace. Grace is one of my favorite things in the world. And I hope it will be one of your favorite things in the world. Grace is unearned, undeserved love. And we live in a world where we like to earn love. We like to deserve what we get, right? Whereas mercy is the reality that you don't get what you do deserve, which we all need mercy, and Jesus gives us mercy. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. It's not just not getting what you do deserve, it's getting what you don't deserve. Grace means that you don't have to earn God's love. You don't have to earn it because Jesus already earned it for you. You don't have to deserve it because Jesus deserved it and he gives it for you. So when God looks at you in his grace, he loves you completely and utterly. And you don't have to do a thing to earn that. And in fact, you couldn't. When we gather around Jesus, we gather around the good news that we don't have to try to earn God's love or favor or kindness. It is freely given to us because Jesus earned it for us. That's the second picture. Third thing, what does it look like to gather around Jesus? Looks like this. It looks like to gather around purpose. To gather around purpose. Church, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. In Jesus, we have been given a purpose. Jesus never, if you see this in scripture, he never gathered people around himself to keep them there. Jesus gathered people around him to send them out on purpose. And in Jesus, our purpose, number one, is to know God. And number two, is to make God known. Number one is to love God. And two is to love neighbor. We've been given a purpose. When we gather around Jesus, we get a purpose. We are a sent people out into the world to know God, to make him known, to love God, and to love others around us. So when we gather around Jesus, we gather around forgiveness, the thing we need more than anything. We gather around grace, the thing that gives us the confidence to be loved by God. And we gather around purpose, the thing that sends us out into the world that we live. So how do we do this? How do we gather around Jesus in our life? Three quick things, and then we'll begin to wrap up. Number one is that we gather around Jesus individually. Number two, we gather around Jesus in community. And number three, we gather around Jesus as a church. Individually, in community, and as the church. Individually, to gather around Jesus does look like to spend time with Jesus. Right? To do what the disciples did. They followed Jesus up the mountainside so they could spend time with him, so they could listen to him and learn from him. Right? And so if we are gonna gather our lives around Jesus, we have to learn to spend time with Jesus. And you can call that a devotional, you can call that a quiet time, you can call that time in God's word. I don't care what you call it. Just carve out time to be with Jesus, right? For me, again, I like checklists, I like to-do lists. Time with Jesus is in my Google Calendar. And every morning it pops up, time with Jesus, because I recognize I need that. Like, it's not just a checkbox for me, it's something I need. Because if there's one thing I have learned over the years of almost 20 years of hearing Mike Ashcraft preach, is to have a quiet time in a journal, right? Amen? And for so long, I listened to it. I said, yeah, that sounds good, Mike. Yep, I think you should do that. I think every Christian should check that box. And it wasn't until a point in my life where I recognized I needed it that I started doing it. And I would just commend you to carve out time in your life to spend time with Jesus, to spend time with that quiet time out of the noise of your day, the noise in your head so you can hear from God, to be still with him, and do it in prayer, do it in reading the Bible, and do it in journaling. Do it now, do it like you need it. Do it like your life depends on it. And then in community, y'all, we gather around Jesus. And what does this look like? Yeah, it looks like encouraging your community towards Jesus for sure, but it also looks like extending to your community what has been extended to you. Right? In Christ, y'all, we are a forgiven people, but we're also supposed to be a forgiving people. Right? We are supposed to forgive others as we have been forgiven. In community, we get to give grace to each other. We get to love each other unconditionally, unearned, undeserved. We can do that because we have been given grace, so we can extend grace. We can extend our purpose by loving others as Jesus loved us. In community, it looks like extending to our community what Jesus has already extended to us. And then as a church, y'all, we gather. When we gather on Sundays, when we gather on Tuesdays, when we gather on Wednesdays, when we gather on Thursdays, all the days that we gather together. We don't gather to be entertained. We don't gather to check off a box of church attendance. We don't gather to feel better about ourselves. We gather in order to gather around Jesus. And we get to invite other people into that, to see Jesus, to know Jesus, to give their life to Jesus, to love him for who he is and what he has done, to literally taste and see that the Lord is good. To live your life for Jesus, you must gather your life around Jesus. And I'll just be honest, for myself, the way that this is so impactful to me is that I grew up in a pretty early on, started a relationship with Jesus, and I got it that Jesus was what saved me. I got it that Jesus was what forgave me. I got it that Jesus got me into the Christian life, but then I thought it was all up to me after that. Anybody with me? It's like Jesus like saved me. Jesus got me in, but now it's all up to me to stay in. Now it's all up to me to figure it all out. Now it's all up to me to like somehow, some way muster up some energy to grow. I thought Jesus got me in, but now it's all up to me. And I've tried to live out the Christian life long enough now that I can tell you that the Christian life is not easy, right? The Christian life is not even difficult. The Christian life is impossible. The Christian life is impossible to live without the one who lived it perfectly, and that's Jesus. The Christian life without Jesus is impossible. And so that's why this is so important for me, and I hope it's important for you, is that we don't have any hope of living out the Christian life without the Christ of the life. So we've got to gather our lives around Jesus. Y'all, I understood that Jesus kind of got me started, that got me in. But this is what Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 tells us. It says this, it says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." We must continue to follow him. What does that mean? Is that just the same way you start a relationship with Jesus, that's the way you live the Christian life. You start it as coming to him, surrendering your life. You start it in acknowledging your need for Jesus. You start it in your faith in Jesus. And that is exactly how you live out the rest of your Christian life. In dependence, in faith, in surrender. The next verse says this. It says, "Let your roots go down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth that you were taught and you will overflow with thanksgiving." Port City Church, hear me say this today, that we don't grow past our need for a Savior. We don't grow past our need for Jesus, we just grow deeper in him, right? That our roots would go down into him. We don't grow past our need for Jesus, we just grow more stable on him. Let your lives be built on him is what it says. We don't grow past our need for Jesus, we just grow stronger through him. That our faith would grow strong is what it says. And this is Paul writing to a group of Christians that had made the Christian life very complicated. They had added all this stuff on top of the true message of Christianity, which is faith in Jesus, to gather your life around Jesus. And Paul would write this, and this is a translation of the Message Bible, it's a paraphrase, but he would say this to the church in Colossae, this urban church, and he would say this to us today, that to be mature is to be basic. Christ, no more, no less. Church, I'm here today to tell us that we don't need more than Jesus. We just need more of Jesus in our lives. And that simple, that's a quiet message. It's a challenging message. It's one that we're not gonna get perfectly right. We're gonna gather around other things at times. We're gonna make other things the center of our life. But what if this would be our prayer? That we would want nothing more than Jesus. That we would want nothing more than to be with Jesus, sit at his feet and be in his presence. That we would want nothing more than to live out our life in Christ the way that we started our life in Christ. By grace, through faith. Let's pray together, church. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for even in a simple message, God, that there is a profound lesson for us. God, that in our lives, we can gather around so many things. We can get so busy. Our life can get so noisy that we miss the simple truth of Jesus. Yeah, maybe like we got it like the day we were saved or when we were a kid, we were all about Jesus, and now it's like all about doing all these things and proving ourselves and figuring it out. But Father God, I just pray that today, in the stillness, in the quiet, and the simplicity of a message like this, God, that we would be refreshed, that we would be renewed, and that we would be encouraged to gather all of our life around Jesus, that we would say, I'm gonna follow you wherever you go. And that in that place, God, that we would see the very things that we need are already given to us in Jesus, forgiveness and grace and purpose. Those are the things we want. We wanna be made right. We wanna be loved. We wanna have meaning in life. And all of those are found in Jesus. And so let us go there today and every day. And we pray this and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.